Well, it is a great joy to be here and to be with you, dear folks, again at this church, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share these days with you. I hope that by God's grace, you'll be in every one of the services through Wednesday night. We're going to be talking about some heavy-hitting subjects from God's Word, and I trust they'll be an encouragement to you. I trust they'll be a blessing. I trust they'll be a challenge as well. I'd like to start this morning with the third chapter of the Gospel of John, very familiar portion of Scripture, and I want to take the time to read the story, first of all. We will let John the Apostle tell us the story of this man Nicodemus. By the way, there is something that leads from into the third chapter of John. Jesus had performed the miracle at Cana of Galilee, turning water to wine in John chapter 2, and we are told that because of his miracles, many believed on him. And yet Jesus did not give himself to them or did not entrust himself to them because he knew what was in man, and he knew that many of these were attracted by the sensational and by the miraculous and really did not understand who he was and what he was about. There was a man like that whose interest was piqued, who came to the Lord Jesus by night. And when he had questions, the Lord Jesus took the time with him. That brings us to chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we do know, and testify what we have seen, and you receive our witness. Receive not our witness. If I've told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. May the Lord add his blessing to this, the reading of his word. And Jesus' miracles had attracted attention. And Nicodemus comes with this true sincerity, and he reveals two things as he comes to the Lord Jesus. He reveals, really more than two, I'll say three, because the third one's going to come up in a minute. He reveals a certain attitude toward Christ. He reveals the longing of his heart, and at the same time, he reveals his spiritual ignorance. And I have preached from this passage many times, A few months ago, I went back to the fourth chapter of John, Christ at the woman, with the woman at the well, and preached from it after many, many years, and was reminded of something in John 4, and one day, reading the third chapter of John, it's been there. This is not that I discovered new truth, folks. I want you to understand that. It's always been there. I just wasn't sharp enough to get it. Or have you ever done that? Have you read God's word and you've read the same passage time after time, year after year, and all at once there's something there and it's always been there, but for the first time it made an impression on you and the Holy Spirit used it in your heart? And have you ever at least mentally gone like that? Where have I been? What have I been up to that I didn't see that before? And that's something that came to me in this passage. And I believe there is a clear contrast here in the first part and the last part of Jesus' interview with Nicodemus that reveals his ignorance and what the essence of real salvation is and what brings us to faith in Christ. And so as we look at it this morning, I want us to see this clear presentation of the gospel. I want us to see the Lord Jesus Christ showing us as well how to deal with some folks as we present the gospel. And I want us to see the critical issue in the presentation of the gospel. And so this morning, as we look at this passage, I want us to see how the Lord Jesus teaches us the need to be born again and the way to be born again. Now, with that in mind, as we begin this morning, let me start by beginning by speaking with you about the priority of the new birth. And as we begin, listen again to Nicodemus. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these works that thou doest except God be with him. Now, it's very clear that Nicodemus was longing for something. It's very clear that he came to the Lord Jesus with a respect for him, is it not? He addresses him by the Jewish term rabbi. He recognizes that these works somehow had to originate in God. But he still holds Christ at the level of man. No man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. And I believe the fundamental issue with Nicodemus was his view of who Jesus is. And I believe that is spelled out throughout the New Testament, that we must come to him as the Son of Man, the only begotten Son of God, John chapter 3, verse 16. We must, and that's what Nicodemus was missing. I'm telling you the end of the story before I get there, but we need to understand that. The difference between no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him, and God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. And that's what Nicodemus was missing. Now, understanding that, the Lord Jesus says, Nicodemus, there's one thing you've got to get. You've got to understand. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, that surprised Nicodemus, but maybe not for the reasons we think. As I understand it, the term born again was not a term with which the Jews were unfamiliar. That they would, of a proselyte Jew, use that term. A Gentile who embraced Judaism, they would say he was born again. It was a figure of speech for them. They would say he got a new lease on life. He really got the secret to life, was the idea. But that Jesus would say to a Jew, you must be born again, is a different story altogether. And Nicodemus is reasoning now on the physical realm. And he says, and notice it in verse 4, can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And the Lord Jesus takes this again to spiritual language that Nicodemus should have understood in verse 5. And this is a passage, folks, that in our Gentile world has been beaten over and kicked around like a football. It has been It has been debated. There are theological battles that have gone on over it. And I really don't think there should have been all of those battles. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And some folks want to read baptism into that. Whether it's infant baptism or baptism for salvation, and you can't get either one out of it. Some have, and I can understand the plausibleness of it. Some have said Jesus is contrasting physical birth and spiritual birth. Just as you are born in water, and then you are born spiritually, you've got to have both births. I don't think that's the key. The Jews, and Jesus used this repeatedly, coming out of Isaiah 44, coming out of Ezekiel 36, the Jews associated water with the work of the Holy Spirit of God. I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. I will pour floods upon the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit out, God said in Isaiah 44. In Ezekiel 36, 25, we'll look at that passage later. God said, And catch this, I'll sprinkle you with clean water and you'll be clean from all of your deeds. And then he says, a new heart also will I give you and a new spirit will I put within you. And Ezekiel 36 is a forerunner of the new birth. It's an Old Testament allusion to what's going to come through the finished work of Christ. And God associated water with that work of cleansing men from their sin. And Jesus is simply saying, Nicodemus, what I'm talking to you about is a spiritual birth, not a physical birth. Then he does, in verse 6, go on to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You had one physical birth. You've got to have a spiritual birth as well. And marvel not that I said again unto you, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. Three times. Would you get the idea Jesus is stressing to Nicodemus that the priority is a spiritual birth, it is a new birth, and it is an absolutely necessary, non-negotiable experience that must happen in the life of a person if he is to know the things of God. You must be born again. That's the priority of the new birth. Now, I want you to come with me, if you will, please, to the next verses. And I want you to see with me as well, and I want to be careful about this term, the process of the new birth. And what I mean by the term process is very simply, the Lord Jesus explains to Nicodemus and to us the basis upon which the new birth is possible. Notice what he says in verse 8. As he's explaining this spiritual birth to Nicodemus, this birth that is from God, this birth that is from above. And by the way, the term born again is a very interesting term as well. It means both from above and again. And I believe both senses are true in it. It is a birth that comes from God. But notice now, he illustrates it. He says, Nicodemus, the wind blows. And I was watching the news in Florida. We get to spend the winters in Florida now. And it's been winter in Florida, I want to tell you. Coldest winter on record. Don't think we've had it easy. Been cold and hung on. But we've had wind when it hits the Tampa Bay area out of the northwest. That's the remnants of the Arctic clippers that come down and we get cold. And the other day the weather lady was explaining the wind's going to switch out of the north, come in off the ocean out of the northeast. And I guess in that part of the world then it's going to warm up. And she said we'll be in the 70s over the weekend. So it's maybe spring's coming. But you folks hope it's coming, don't you? Snow in Augusta, Georgia. A week ago, when you got it here, I was over in Columbus, Georgia. 2 inches of snow in Columbus, Georgia. Good grief. But at any rate, the wind blows. and you feel it. And you know that sometimes it blows out of the north, and sometimes it blows out of the west, and sometimes it gets in the south. You can't tell whence it comes, where it goes. Thus is everyone who is born of the Spirit. This new birth is a work of the Spirit of God. That's the first thing that we need to understand. Now Nicodemus asks a second question. And folks, there is, I believe, a marked change between the first question he asks in verse 4. How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's on the physical realm altogether. The Lord Jesus says, Nicodemus, verse 5, I am talking to you about a spiritual birth that produces cleansing from sin. I am telling you that there is that which is of the flesh and that which is of the spirit. And you've got to be born again. This is a work of the Holy Spirit of God. Notice Nicodemus' question in verse 9. He is now well past, I don't think there was ever any belligerence in him, but he is well past thinking only in the physical realm. And now he becomes a learner, now he becomes teachable, still ignorant. How can these things be? Now you've told me that I've got to be born again. That this is a spiritual birth. You have told me that it is parallels, but it's different than my physical birth. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. I've got to be born again. You've said that this work is done by the Holy Spirit of God. How can these things be? How does this happen? And so Jesus goes on and he says, we speak what we know, we testify the things that we have seen. And he said, Nicodemus, this generation hasn't received our witness. And if I've told you earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe when I tell you spiritual things? Watch verse 13, will you please, in that context. This is a work, verse 8, of the Holy Spirit of God. And he says in verse 13, no man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. And here is a bomb. We read it and kind of read over it. This had to shake Nicodemus. No man ascends to heaven, but he that has come down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Now you say, Brother Moritz, what's such a bomb about that? The Lord Jesus has just used Old Testament language which identifies him as deity. I asked the pastor what time I was going to be up, and he said about 9, and I was up here starting to preach at 5 till. I thank you, sir. Can I use my 5 minutes to do something I wouldn't have done otherwise? Would you turn to Daniel 7 with me? I want you to see this. Because I sat in Bible survey classes and never saw it, never heard it. It's been there all these years, and I never caught it. But Daniel 7 is the second great vision of the Gentile nations in the book of Daniel. The first one's in Daniel 2, where Nebuchadnezzar saw the statue with the head of gold and the shoulders and the chest of silver and the belly and the thighs of brass, the legs of iron, the feet of iron and clay, which are the picture of the four coming great world empires. Second vision, which shows all of that in Daniel 7. Different imagery. I'm not going to go through all of that this morning, but I want you to look with me at Daniel chapter 7 and verse 13. And I want you to notice Daniel's language here. And I saw in the night visions. Well, let's start in verse 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, And the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. This is God the Father, the Ancient of Days. Now watch verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory, a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not be pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Who is the one to whom God is going to give that eternal kingdom? The Son of Man. The Jews understood that, and they were looking for a Messiah who would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No man has ascended to heaven, Nicodemus. Only one has come down from heaven, the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And Nicodemus gets two things there. Number one, he is confronted. This is not a teacher come from God, a man who does things because God's with him, and no man can do those things except God be with him. If I'm going to be born again, I've got to come face to face with the fact that this is the Son of Man. You see why I said that's a bomb when the Lord Jesus said that to Nicodemus? Number two, ladies and gentlemen, there is a second great truth that Nicodemus needed to know and that the world has needed to know for 2,000 years. And it is this: spiritual truth is not discovered like natural truth. I'm glad I lived for 28 years in North Alabama. Went to church with a church full of engineers who worked for NASA. Worked with guys who helped send the Apollo rocket to the moon. And worked with guys who are aerospace engineers working in the aerospace industry today. The fact that there are laws of nature that keep the world and the stars in space and the world spinning, and that man can discover and can discover laws of physics to build a space station on Earth and blow shuttles up into space and establish an orbit and build a space station in orbit, and guys can live on it, and we can remodel the thing and send the space shuttle up there and back and up and back. Those are laws of nature that God created when He spoke. He gave man gray matter, and men far smarter than I over centuries have discovered and put together those laws of physics and were able to do that. On a much simpler realm, there are laws of mathematics and laws of physics that hold these buildings on this beautiful campus in place. And architects discover them and use them. If we're going to know about the new birth, God has to reveal that truth to us. It is not by reason, it is by revelation. And we have to come face to face with the fact God has revealed Himself in His Word. The truth of the new birth is given to us by the Son of Man. And that leads Christ to the third truth I want you to see. And I've really already said it, but I want to develop it just a little further. The priority of the new birth: you must be born again. The process of the new birth: this is the work of the Spirit of God, John 3:8. This is the work that God has revealed from heaven in the person of the Son of Man, the Jews' Messiah. Number three, see with me this morning, because he drives it home, the person of the new birth. Now, he starts it there in verse 13. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He's talking about his coming death. The new birth is in the Son of Man, the one the Jews were looking for, who will rule the kingdoms of this earth. But first, he must be lifted up. He must be crucified. You remember when the Jews griped against God and against Moses in the wilderness, and God sent those fiery serpents, and when the people cried to the Lord, they cried to Moses, and the Lord said, Moses, build that serpent of brass, put him on a pole, hold him up, and everybody that looks to him will be healed. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him, verse 15, should not perish, but have eternal life. Nicodemus, without the new birth, you will die. You will die forever. You must be born again. It is a work of the Spirit of God revealed by the Son of Man. He must be lifted up, and everyone who believes in him will receive. You must be born again, and the result of it is eternal life. Now, watch this next verse, folks. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, and he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, will you catch a hold of this, folks? Verse 13, the Son of Man. Verse 16, God's only begotten Son. Verse 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Those who are lost, verse 18, have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And Jesus uses that term, Son of Man, only begotten Son of God, the Son of God. The new birth is wrapped up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and who he is. And folks, listen. The woman at the well had to get the truth that she was speaking to the Messiah. Nicodemus had to get a hold of the truth that this was not a teacher come from God. This was not a man doing wonderful works because God was with him. This was the Son of Man. This was the only begotten Son of God. No one like him. The Creator, the one who is before all things, who is God. John 5. The Jews sought to kill Jesus because he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the term Son of God in the Jewish mind spoke not about relationship, a physical relationship and one being older or than and greater than the other. In the Jews' mind, when you were a guy's son, a man's son, you had character traits like him. You were like him. Sameness of character. And when Jesus claimed that God was his Father, the Jews understood he was claiming equality with God. We are talking about God who came to earth in the flesh to be hung on a cross to save men from sin. He is the only begotten Son of God. And not only did the woman at the well need to get it, what was the error of the false teachers? John, this same apostle, would combat them late in his life. 1 John 2:23, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? I mean, that is, the Lord Jesus is laying down the fundamental plank of the doctrine of who he is. And for a person to be born again, we must understand he is God who came to save us. We must get that. And by the way, that slander, that slam has gone on for years. I'm going to date myself. I had a great time preaching against this when the rock opera Jesus Christ Superstar first came out. And I understand that thing still sticks up its head every once in a while. And I never saw it. I did on the radio hear the song every once in a while. But do you remember, is it the song that one of the Marys sings to Christ in Jesus Christ Superstar? I think that's right. I don't know how to love him. You remember, some of you don't want to admit it. You know, in church on Sunday morning, you don't shake your head and agree you ever heard that. Well, what did she say? He's a man. He's just a man. And the confusion and the devil's lie about the person of Jesus Christ and who he is has gone on ever since the Son of Man came down from heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, being born again comes face to face with the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man who came down from heaven to be hanged on a cross because I am a sinner and can't save myself, and the Spirit of God has got to do this new birth work in me. The priority of the new birth, you must be born again. The process of the new birth, it is the work of the Holy Spirit revealed by the Son of Man who came down from heaven. The person of the new birth. The new birth is wrapped up in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of Man, the only begotten Son of God. And apart from that understanding, and the whole reason for him having to come, is because we were sinners who otherwise would perish. And he had to be lifted up. He had to hang on the cross in order to be our Savior. The person of the new birth. The fourth truth I want you to see with me this morning is the procurement of the new birth. How do I get it? It is so simple. And Jesus says it over and over again. Notice it. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. I didn't do a count of this when I was in the study preparing. I should have. But what is it? Is it four times there Jesus says the same thing? Believeth, believeth, believes not. He that believes is not condemned. And we must come to the place where we understand he is the Son of Man, the Son of God. We must come to the place where we understand that he came to be lifted up to die for us. That it is when we believe in Him and trust Him that we are delivered from eternal death and given the gift of everlasting life. It is that simple. I don't want to complicate it. But it is simple after coming to the understanding of who He is and why He came. The question, my friend, this morning is, have you believed? Have you trusted Him? The Lord Jesus Christ, a few chapters later, will look at His disciples when many who have made a profession walk away and go no more with Him. And He'll look at the 12 and He'll say, will you also go away? And Peter will say in John chapter 6, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. No one else can save us. And we believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it is with that trust where I turn to Him and trust Him and Him alone to save me from sin and hell, because He did, as the Son of Man, come down from heaven to reveal everlasting life and to save us. He is only begotten Son of God. He is Son of God. And it is procured by faith. A fifth truth. And we cannot leave the passage without dealing with it. I almost came off my chair this morning when our sister got up and sang that song she sang, because she preached the fifth point of this message. Saved me a lot of work. The priority of the new birth, you must be born again. The process of the new birth, it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God revealed by Jesus Christ. The person of the new birth, the Son of Man, the Son of God. The procurement of the new birth, whosoever believeth in Him, the proof of the new birth. And when a person trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be a change. This is not getting a tattoo of a cross. Who ever thought you'd say something like that? This is not a gold cross and a gold chain hung around somebody's neck. This is a faith in Christ, understanding who He is and that He came to save us from death and from hell, and on the other side to give us everlasting life. And there's a condemnation. You have it in verse 19. Lights come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Everyone that hateth the light, everyone that does evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. Now watch verse 21. Those who come to Christ, everyone, he that does the truth cometh to the life, to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. And when God does the work of the new birth, the deeds of life change. There's not a perfect person here, but there are a whole lot of different people here this morning. And they are different, and they are changed, because one day, understanding they were sinners and that Christ came to save them, they believed in Him. And that produces a new kind of life. That produces a change in life. And folks, that gets us past a sloppy 5-minute presentation of the gospel and somebody thinking they're saved because they repeated a prayer. Now, I have heard people repeat a prayer and been genuinely converted. I have seen people saved the first time they ever heard the gospel. I have seen folks with whom we worked a very long time before they ever came to know Christ. But we cannot reduce the gospel to a formula. We have to understand, we're sinners. God sent His Son. The Holy Spirit of God, taking the revealed person of Christ in the Word of God, works the miracle of the new birth in a life when a sinner puts his faith in Christ. Your job and mine is to believe on the only begotten Son of God. I can, first of all, make a very clear, bold affirmation this morning. It's not mine, it's Christ's. You must be born again. I have the privilege of asking you a question this morning. Have you been born again? And if you have not, then I invite you today to put your faith in Christ and be born again. Let's pray, shall we please? Together, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, with hearts open to God, with Christians praying, with no one looking around. Let me ask a couple of questions this morning before we sing an invitation hymn. And I do not ask these questions to embarrass you. I ask these questions to help you. They're going to be personal questions. But let me ask first this morning, have you been born again? Can you say, there came a day when I realized I was a sinner? I knew I couldn't save myself. I realized that God sent His Son to this earth to save me, and I trusted Christ. And you can say, by God's grace, I've been born again. If you can say that this morning, would you give testimony of it for just a moment and lift your hand and hold it there? Not to boast, we have nothing in which we ourselves may boast, but by the grace of God, you can say it. God bless you. Thank you. Allow me to ask a second question this morning. I wonder if there's someone here today who'd say, Brother Moritz, I can't tell you that I've been born again. Or I can't say that I'm sure I've been born again. But you'd say, I realize the issue. I know how eternally important this is. I realize the great issue that I've got to come face to face with who Christ is and why He came. And you'd say this morning, God's Holy Spirit has spoken to me. I want to know that I've been born again. If you can say that, if you would say that today, and you'd say, I'd like for you to pray for me. I've not been, or I'm not sure I've been born again. I want to be sure today. Would you lift your hand and take it down? Give me the privilege of praying for you this morning. Anyone, as we wait just a moment, I want to know that God's done that work in my life. Now let me ask one other question. And I haven't preached a word to Christians about revival, about getting right with the Lord. But I know many times when we preach the simple message of the gospel, that the hearts of God's people get warmed and get stirred. And we have talked about the fact there will be proof of the new birth. And I wonder this morning if there's some Christians who'd say, God's spoken to me. And you'd say, I realize, though I have been born again, there are things in my life that ought not to be there, that aren't right. And this morning, I want to do business with the Lord, and I want my life to be all God wants it to be. I'm coming to the light. I want God to do His works in me, and you'd say, pray for me this morning, would you lift your hand and take it down if you'd say that? God bless you. Yes, and you. There are a number of hands around this building. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, anyone else? Pray for me this morning. God bless you. Thank you. Yes, and you. Amen. Thank you. Now, in a moment, we're going to stand and pray. And I'd like for us, with heads bowed, with eyes closed, with hearts open to God, I think we can sing it from memory. Can we use the old hymn, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Dr. Lane's going to be here at the front of the auditorium. And why don't you come? And Christian friend, use the front row of these chairs. Use the steps of this platform as an altar this morning, and kneel here and do business with God and ask God to help you, to strengthen you in living for the Lord. If you're here without Christ and you did not raise your hand, but you're not sure that you've ever been born again, slip out of your seat and come. Pastor would be delighted to get a man if you're a man, a lady if you're a lady, to take an open Bible and to help you to trust Christ. So come, if God's Holy Spirit's working in your heart this morning, we'll stand, we'll pray, we're not going to tarry long, we'll sing just a verse or two of the old hymn, but as God's Holy Spirit speaks, you come and let the Lord have His way. Will you do that? Let's stand together. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. And Lord, we thank you for numbers of Christians who raised their hands and said, Lord, that by your Spirit you've spoken to them, and I pray, God, that you might work in their lives and help them, Father, to do business with you today. If there's someone here who has never been born again, I pray that today you would, by your Holy Spirit, do that work in their lives and get glory to yourself, and we'll thank you for Jesus' sake. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, hearts are open to God. Give us the chord. Let's sing that first verse of that great old song together. If you need to come, slip out and come while we sing.